Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. As we're beginning the new year, I want to encourage you to join us for Kadima 2016, 40 days forward. We are starting the new year with a forward orientation. What does Kadima mean?
Forward.
That's right. You could also say charge. We're going forward together. And so we want this year to be a strong year, a year of encouragement for us, and a year of fruitfulness for us, a year of opportunity, a year of open doors, and of great change and improvement for good. I want to start by looking at the scripture that we posted for the first day of this year, because every day of these 40 days, we're going to post a scripture on Facebook, and I encourage you to read it many times a day, and even to try to memorize some of these scriptures. Hide the word in your heart. It will make a difference to you. So the first scripture is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I want to read it to you, and then I'm going to call it out to you phrase by phrase, and I want you to repeat after me. But first, just listen. This is a word from the Lord. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now I want you to repeat this after me. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Very good. The Lord says, "I know the plans that I have for you." He's been making plans for you. Sometimes we begin the new year with resolutions. We say, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." How many have ever made a New Year's resolution? How many have ever made a New Year's resolution that you've kept? It is so much easier to make the resolutions, isn't it? But to keep them is hard. Now, here's the difference between us and God. He does not make resolutions. He has firm plans, and he fulfills what he sets out to do. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. You know what that means? He's been thinking about you. He's been paying attention to you. He didn't start this year thinking, "Wow, I didn't even realize it's January. We're starting Oh, man, what are we going to do?" Some of us are caught short right now. Some of us have begun the year and we haven't even thought about what do we want for this new year. Nor have we organized ourselves and said, "I am going to commit myself to accomplish certain things that the Lord has put on my heart or he's shown me that he wants me to accomplish." So it's time for us to spend the energy to be with the Lord, to seek the Lord, and to say, "Lord, show me your plans. I don't want only my plans, I want your plans. Show me your plans, because I know this, Lord, your plans are good, they give me a future, they give me a hope as well." Now, this morning, we posted a second scripture for day two, January 2nd, 2016. It's from Proverbs 16:3. Let me read it to you. It says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." So I want you to repeat after me, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." Proverbs 16, verse 3. Very good. So God has plans for you, and he wants you to know he's looking to do good for you, and he also wants you to have plans. In order for our plans to be established, our actions have to be committed to the Lord. And sometimes we are not wholehearted in that. Sometimes we are passive, or we don't give it our best. I want to encourage you, let this be a year where you give your best to the Lord, where what you say you're going to do, you fulfill, and you do it with excellence. You do it with wholeheartedness, not double-mindedness. You make yourself someone who is really committed to fulfill what God has put in your heart. Paul wrote to the Colossians, this is not on the scriptures that we posted already, Colossians 3, verse 23, you might want to write that down. It says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you were working for the Lord, not for people. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Whatever work that you do, do it with all of your heart, with a full commitment, because you're working for the Lord. You're not just working for people. Paul wrote the Ephesians something similar. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. He said, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Serve wholeheartedly, because you really are serving the Lord. When you do your work, every kind of work, it's unto the Lord, as long as you've committed that work to the Lord. Now, it's possible to be a believer and you go off and you do what you think about doing, you do what you want to do, you even do good things, but you don't do it with the Lord in mind. I want to encourage you, do everything with the Lord in mind. Start your day with the Lord in mind. Wake up and give thanks to Him. When you drive to work, as you're driving, take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you for the opportunities. I want to serve you with the very best that I have. I want to give my best because I know this, Lord, you give me your best, and I want to be fruitful wherever I am. And as you're doing this day by day, as you're taking an attitude that your work is unto the Lord, that your ministry in the congregation is unto the Lord, that the way you take care of everything that the Lord has given you, this is a way of honoring Him and serving Him, a way of demonstrating your commitment to Him. Give your very best. God has plans for you. He wants you to know that so that you will have confidence about your future. He's been thinking about your future. He's been preparing your future. He has blessings. He has opportunities for you. And most of you know this. Every opportunity involves challenge and change. And so I want to encourage you, as we're reading the book of Exodus, the second book of Moses, Shemot, that this is a book that's dedicated to opportunity. It's dedicated to change. It's a Kadima book, forward. It explains how we can be in one condition and God can take us to a whole new place. It shows us how we don't have to be stuck at any time in our life. We can move forward with Him. But it also shows that God has His timetable. He has His ways of raising up opportunity, of opening doors. And when He says it's time, you know what? It is time. I was thinking about the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. I even know what day it was in 2015. Do you know, just from memory, what day Rosh Hashanah began, Erev Rosh Hashanah? September 13. You know why I know? Because that's my birthday. It's Rabbi Victor's birthday too. So it was 110 days ago, 16 weeks ago, 4 months ago, if you count it just by weeks that way. Now we're at the secular New Year. The good plans that God has for us now, they've already been unfolding. He's not just starting on January 1st. I believe there was a turning point on September 13th, on Rosh Hashanah. The year, 1 year closed, the new year began. And that happens, of course, every year. So there's a turning point every year. But this year, I believe the Lord wants us to get something into our hearts and into our minds. He's ready to move. He's ready to act. And we need a new perspective, because I believe in 2015 and 2014, a lot of us had to learn how to wait. We had to learn to be patient. How many of you were in that school with the Lord? You wanted God to act more quickly. And he said, I'm doing it just fine. Can you identify that you were in a class on patience that the Lord was teaching? And you know how the Lord teaches a class on patience? It's really easy. He says, read a verse and then you got it. Which verse, Lord? Just fooling you. He doesn't say that. This is how he teaches patience. He gives us a picture of what's ahead. And then he shows us we have to wait for it. And during that time of waiting, you know what happens? We start developing our prayer life. We start developing our trust in God. We start being squeezed by the Lord so that impatience, impulse, the quitter's mentality, that's all squeezed out of us. How many of you have had that squeezing? You can identify with this. You saw something and the Lord said, oh yes, keep asking. Keep asking. You said, how long, Lord? And he said, longer. But he said to us, wait on the Lord and you'll be renewed. You'll be renewed in your strength. And let me just survey, how many people found themselves having to wait on the Lord and you did discover he did renew you? And maybe you went through a real valley in your life where your motivation, your hope, your sense of the future was at a low point, but you started pressing into the Lord in that situation. You waited on the Lord and he started renewing you and refreshing you and giving you clarity about what's ahead. How many can say, yes, Lord, you did that for me? Let's thank him. Anybody who got renewed in their strength, you can stand with me right now. Don't fake it right now. If you didn't get renewed, don't stand up. If you did, you then stand up with me and say, Lord, thank you because you showed yourself faithful. And when I waited on you, Lord, you renewed me. You renewed my strength and you lifted me up. I thank you, Lord, for that renewal. You can be seated unless you just feel like standing. You can stay standing as long as you want. Well, I believe that we need to have a different perspective right now than we have had. And the perspective is this: the Lord's ready to act. He's looking for people who are ready to move forward, to act wholeheartedly, not to run impulsively. Not to just go do our own thing, not to be like those people who are like sheep who have gone astray and just do what they want to do, but who can align themselves together and work together to accomplish what the Lord has in mind. And I believe some of the things that you have been praying for, that you have been hoping for, that you know God wants for you, some of those things are going to burst suddenly in front of you. But when they're about to come, it's important to be prepared and to be ready. Not to be distracted, but to be ready. And not to be out of energy, but to be ready. My trainer, Sergey, decided he was going to get me ready, I guess. And so one day he handed me a diet. And he said, this is what you're going to eat for the next month. And he said it without any pressure, without any manipulation, but without any room for negotiation. And I received it as if the Lord were giving it to me. And so I started eating the way he said. I wrote down times, you know, like you have to eat this at 8:30 in the morning, this at 10:30, this at 12:30, and so forth. One day I called him up because I was about to go to the gym and I said, are you serious? I'm only supposed to eat a bowl of quinoa? And he said, that's right. And I said, okay. So I went to the gym with a bowl of quinoa in my belly. Quinoa was not my favorite food. It's a Peruvian grain that has high protein, and it's really good for you. It turns out if you put salt, pepper, cumin, and hot chili peppers on it, you know, ground chili, then it actually tastes pretty good. Because it tastes like those things. Now quinoa is one of my favorite foods. I've eaten more quinoa in the last 8 weeks than in my entire life. I've eaten like 10 times more than in my entire life. So I remember going and being surprised I had the energy to do everything. I received that as if from the Lord, and you know what? My energy level started getting better. I started losing fat. This is what Sergey said to me. Because I was making jokes. I was telling my friends, you know, under this fat, I've got muscle. Unfortunately, it was true. And so Sergey, I don't know if he heard me say that or one of my friends told him that. I don't know. Or maybe he just had this sense, the time is right. He said, we're going to help you get rid of that fat. I thought, yes, sir. And so I believe that there was grace on me to say yes at that time. Sometimes when the time is right, it's easy. There are other times when it seems you do your best, you use all your willpower, and it's just impossible to do something. But I tell you, when your strength has been renewed in the Lord, there's an ease about certain things that were too hard under other circumstances. So the Lord is giving us grace, and I believe that he wants us to have better energy. He wants us to have better sleep. He wants us to have clearer thinking. He wants our hearts, our emotions to be strong and to be renewed, because he's got great things that he wants us to do that require all of those. Now, I've been thinking about our Shalom Center next door, our fellowship center, our place for outreach, for discipleship, for building up the community. And I was thinking about the fact that we really began to use it as a community on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we had challah, apples, and honey there. And it was a way of beginning the new year with this new emphasis on the kinds of things we can do when we gather as a community at the Shalom Center. And we've used the Shalom Center already for Sukkot, for Hanukkah, for men's breakfast, for Hebrew classes, for prayer meetings, and for other activities. And we want to keep moving forward in that, because I believe not only is this sanctuary and our classrooms and all of the activities with our children and with our worship and study time together, not only is that important, but it's also important that we have time as a community, time to build relationships, time to be stronger, time to serve each other at the table, the way Yeshua did. He came as one who waits on tables. And even after he died and was resurrected, he came back and cooked breakfast for his disciples. And so he demonstrates that life in the Spirit includes table fellowship together, one serving the other. The story of Abraham being hospitable to the Lord and the angels who came to visit him is a demonstration of what can happen. Let me put it this way. It shows what God chooses to do during hospitality times. And if we participate in those times of hospitality, we'll see breakthroughs. We'll see spiritual provision. We'll see things happen that wouldn't have happened any other way. We'll see changes. We'll see opportunities for us. We'll see fruit that will come, because that's the way God loves to work. Now, 3 weeks ago, we launched the Take a Seat campaign. Our goal is to raise $25,000 to furnish and equip the Shalom Center. We're going to be purchasing cafe-style tables and chairs and great equipment for the kitchen and for the hospitality team and more. And I want to thank everyone who's given so far. So far, we've raised $7,000, so we've made good progress. And that equals 70 of these take a seat buttons. We're making progress towards the goal of 250 buttons. This is the way we organize. We've got 250 buttons to give out. They are given as we raise $100. So 250 times 100 equals 25,000. That's right. And so I want to thank everyone who's given so far. And I want to encourage everyone who's decided to give and you're getting ready to give, but you haven't done so yet. I know some of you are thinking and preparing, I'm going to give $100, I'm going to give $200. Others are saying I'm going to give $1,000 or even $5,000. Some maybe want to give more. And I want to encourage you, fulfill that which God puts in your heart. Fulfill that which he shows you to do. And if you don't have the provision when you need it, ask him for extra provision, extra supply. Or ask him to show you how to give what he puts in your heart. Because he'll make a way. He will provide for you. I hope that we can raise the additional $18,000 this month. 180 buttons. That represents 6 buttons a day. We can keep track and see can we move towards that. Your timely giving can help us reach that goal quickly. So I believe that the Lord wants to provide for us through our giving together that we as a community would join together in order to make not only a sanctuary like we have, not only a synagogue building, but a center for fellowship, for outreach, for community life as well, a place of hospitality, a place of reaching out and serving other people. And I believe that this is just a picture of what God is wanting to do with us individually, what he wants to do with us as a family, what he wants to do with us as a congregation. He wants us to fulfill his plans in amazing ways. How many of you are in favor of God working suddenly and powerfully in your life and breaking through? Who's in favor of that? Well, you're going to have a Kadima attitude. And I've got that right now. Kadima, forward. I don't want to look back. We just started reading the book of Exodus, and it's basically showing us it's time. When it's time. When God says it's time, it's time. And when he says it's time, he makes a way. He raises up people. He gives opportunity. He defeats the enemy. He leads us forward. He takes us on the route, the direction, the speed that he wants, not the speed we want. Sometimes he goes faster, and we've got to keep up. Sometimes he says, take the shortcut. And you say, Lord, the shortcut was the other way. And he says, nah, the shortcut, it's right through that water. And you say, I don't even see a shortcut. And he says, well, watch. And he blows his wind, his spirit. And he opens up what only he can open up. Not only does he open it up, he doesn't call us to walk through the mud. He dries it out so that we can walk through clearly. And like the water of immersion, when we go through his pass, you know what? The enemy can't follow us. We get freedom when we're walking with him. And true deliverance when we walk with him. He's wanting to do great, incredible things. I want to assure you of something. There will be problems. I can promise you that. I can quote Yeshua on this one. None of you said, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the problems. There will be problems, but God has solutions for you, so don't get stuck on the problems. There's going to be resistance. How many plagues did it take? 10. Wouldn't it have been nice if Pharaohs only need one? What if they only needed a word? Pharaoh, the Lord says, let my people go. And he says, great idea, go. Can I help you financially? But the enemy is defeated when we keep pressing into the Lord and we don't give up. The enemy may come after you, but you need to know this. The Lord has your back. And he will watch your back and protect you as long as you're moving forward. This is why you don't want to go backwards, because there's no safety in that. Now, do you remember what Yeshua said to his disciples, John chapter 4, verse 35? He said, don't say there are still 4 more months and then the harvest will come. Don't say this. So smile at someone sitting next to you and say, you don't say it either and I won't say it either. Yeshua said, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. They are white and ready for the harvest now. And already the one who's reaping the harvest is getting paid and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who harvests can rejoice together. If the problem is not the harvest, what is the problem? The workers. Okay, keep smiling and say to someone sitting next to you, we're the problem. We're the problem. We're the problem. Okay, now encourage that person and say, we're the solution. We are the solution. We're the solution for what God wants to do. You see, the Lord's already prepared people whose hearts are open to Yeshua. They're waiting for someone to come to them. He's already prepared people whose needs are so great that they've cried out to the God they didn't even think they believed in. Atheists who've cried out and said, oh God, help! Send someone to help me. And I tell you this, he even hears the prayers of atheists when they call out like that. I once asked a bunch of former communist atheists this question, have you ever been in such trouble that you cried out to God who you didn't believe in and asked for help? And every one of them said, absolutely. And I asked them to tell me the stories. The stories were amazing, how God answered their prayers. And it taught me something, because I didn't know to ask them that question. The Holy Spirit told me, ask them this. I realized everybody's been in such trouble that they cried out to God, even if they don't believe in God. Because in their heart, there's something that already knows there is a God. And from that place, it's possible for anyone to cry out. So God's been preparing people who are ready. How many in the room can say that God used another person to help you come to the life of faith? How many can say that? And if you can say that, stand up right now. Let's just, you name the people who helped you, who prayed for you, and just say, Lord, thank you for them. Lord, thank you for Pat, thank you for Heather, thank you for John and Mary Elizabeth, thank you for Zach and Lee and the others who prayed for me. Thank you for Sandy and her prayers. Lord, we thank you for the people that you used, and we say we want to be people who are used too, so that we can bring other people to the Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. You can be seated. Yeshua said, Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful. The problem is the laborers are not. They're few. And so pray the Lord and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we have to pray. It's so easy to pray in the wrong way. To pray, oh Lord, send him. He's motivated. Oh Lord, send her. She's got a good attitude. We can always say to the Lord, I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too busy. I don't know what to do. I'm too inexperienced. We can all offer our excuses. And when we do that, we don't bring pleasure to the Lord. There was a time, Isaiah had a picture of this, where the Lord was looking for someone he could use to serve the purposes and the plans that he had in mind. It's recorded in Isaiah 59, verse 16. It says, the Lord was looking and there was no one. No one was available. No one was willing. No one was willing to intercede. And it said he was astonished. He was disturbed because no one was ready to pray. No one was ready to stand in the gap and serve or ready to do the work in the ministry that the Lord had planned. Now let's compare that to Isaiah 6, verse 8. Isaiah says that he heard the voice of the Lord calling and saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah stood up and said, "Hineni, here I am, send me." We are now in a season where God is calling out and saying, "Who can I send? Who can I use? Who's got a heart to be used? Who's willing to take the time? Who will look at the opportunities and see the harvest? Who can I send?" And he's looking for us to say, "Hineni, Hineni, Hineni, here I am, send me." Well, I can tell you this. I've been saying Hineni to the Lord, and I got disturbed myself because I was saying, "Lord, show me your plans." And I had a sense of his plans, what he wanted to do over the next 3, 4, 5 years, and what he wanted to do up until the point I was about 70 years old. And so I was on this time frame, this plan, this purpose. And the Holy Spirit said, "Good plan, wrong time. Now." I said, "Now, you got to be kidding. Now's the time to activate ourselves. Now's the time to stir up. It's not the time to quit. It's not the time to just get readier and readier and readier. It's the time to act now. Forward is where we want to go. He's ready to grow the congregation. He's ready to expand our ministries. He's ready to bring more people into his kingdom. He's ready to equip and empower. He's ready. So you know what's important? We should not get left behind. We want to keep moving forward with the Lord. And I tell you what I'm doing. I'm making adjustments in my attitude and my perspective. I'm rethinking my schedule, my use of time. I'm humbling myself before the Lord. I said to the Lord, "Hineni, here I am, Lord. Send me." And he said, "Okay, work differently. Accelerate." And I was thinking, "Accelerate? I'm trying to slow down." And he said, "No, faster." And it's not work harder. It's not strive. It's not exhaust yourself. It's not try to accomplish this in your own human energy. It's work as unto the Lord. And when you do that, you say, "Lord, what's your time frame?" And he may say, "Today I want you to do what you thought was going to take you a year to do, but I want you to get it done today. I want to bring the breakthrough tomorrow, next week. This is what you need to do in the meantime." And so I've adjusted my expectations, and I'm thinking very differently about how I need to work. I'm telling you that because it's not that I'm impatient. It's not that I'm just trying to push. It's I feel the Lord said, "Now." I don't want to stay in an Egypt. I don't want to get stuck at a Red Sea. I want to move all the way to the land that God's promised to us. I want to work from that place that he's purchased for us. How many of you are in favor of that? It's going to take an attitude, kadima, forward. And we're going to have to keep encouraging each other, kadima, forward. We're going to have to encourage each other, give it your best. Work as unto the Lord. Serve him wholeheartedly and with gladness. In the last couple of years, we've been standing in prayer and financially with the Messianic rabbis, our dear friends in Ukraine and in Crimea, as they've gone through great hardship. And I want to tell you, the hardship is increasing. It's not getting easier. It's just becoming more and more difficult. U.S. news doesn't cover that part of the world the same way that it initially did. It's acting like everything's stable. It's not. Inflation is roughly 44%, according to one report, this year alone in Ukraine, in 2015. And That's only for this short period. The local currency has lost tremendous value. So if someone had the equivalent of a $200 salary in their local currency, it's worth 50 bucks. Prices have gone up and everything has become difficult. And as a result, people have to choose. Do they have food? Do they have medicine? Do they pay for heat in the winter? Do they have food? Do they have transportation? Do they have food or medicine? It's incredibly difficult. The needs are greater than what we're able to do as a single congregation. And I'm thankful to you for your generosity in times past and your current generosity and your continued support. But I want to tell you that we're doing an accelerated and change in strategy in order to help them. We have gone to the IMCS and to the MJA, and we are asking those two organizations and the rabbis and congregations of the IMCS to join together. And all of us stand shoulder to shoulder so that together we can provide $5,000 a month for the Messianic rabbis in Ukraine and Crimea, for their families, so that they'll have food, for their congregations, so that they can continue to meet under the most difficult of circumstances that we have. And so that's more than what our congregation can do. And it's going to take all of us together, and that doesn't even begin to tackle the greater needs that are present among the Jewish people there. So I want to ask you to be praying for us, because we will be going and speaking to the IMCS at the conference and making it really clear we need to stand together and to raise this level of support and even more than that in order to provide for the leaders so that they can provide and they can help others in need. It's so very important. I'm thankful for our congregation, which has been generous in so many ways towards the needs of these rabbis, and we encourage you to continue to give, and we do provide support this way to them. But I want you to pray with us for their situation to be clearly understood. They don't know this, but because I didn't tell them I was going to say this. But it's hard for them to focus on the difficulty in public groups and just to describe it and to say it. They have positive views about life. They are highly educated, very fruitful people. They are accomplished in many areas. And so they never want to come across as just people who are asking for money and that's all they're asking for. Nor do they want to come across as people who have given up hope and they have no sense of the future, because they do. They have a great sense of the future. But it's difficult for them to actually put it into words. So I ask them to practice a little bit with you so that when they're in Orlando and they're talking to leaders and rabbis from all over the world, they can actually tell the truth about the situation and how difficult it can be. So I'm going to give them an opportunity to do that. I've asked them just to speak for 5 minutes. They're not going to bring a big teaching to you or a big message. I wanted to stir you up, and I want you to be encouraged for this year ahead, but at the same time, I want you to have open hearts and see something. I believe the Lord is going to break through in this way, and as we go to Orlando, I believe the Lord is going to open up abundant supply as we speak clearly and as we speak to this audience of rabbis and leaders in the Messianic movement. I believe that there's going to be incredible provision. I'm hoping it'll be so much provision that we have to say, stop. We probably won't, because we know what to do with more. But let me just read to you the biographies of these two men, just short biographies. Rabbi Alexander Papazov has been rabbi of the Messianic Synagogue Gates of Zion in Odessa, Ukraine, since 2006. In 2013, he received rabbinic ordination from the IMCS. He has a doctorate in engineering design and taught at the Odessa Academy of Construction and Architecture. He's married to Sarah. They have two girls, Lisa and Mira. Rabbi Victor Valensky worked as a doctor of narcology. He was chief of the substance abuse department at a hospital in Kiev, Ukraine. In 1998, he moved to Yevpatoria, Crimea, as the director of a rehabilitation center for drug addicts and alcoholics. In 2000, Rabbi Victor started a new Messianic Jewish congregation, Havana Gila, and he has planted 10 other Messianic Jewish congregations in Crimea and Ukraine. Rabbi Victor is married to Nadia, and they have three children. These are great men of God and dear friends of ours. So I don't know which of you is going to speak first. Would you give a warm welcome to Rabbi Alexander?
Thank you so much for your hospitality and for friendships that we have. Thank you, Rabbi David, Rabbi Yuri, and all of you. Each time we come here, we feel like we family reunion. So renewal, yeah. So and a big shalom from Odessa congregation. And I want to share with you a couple of things that we experience now in Ukraine, because we're facing many difficulties. Because still warfare is continuing in Ukraine. Now it's hybrid warfare. The warfare that goes in many directions. And many families were divided. Many congregations were destroyed because some people will think to go to Russia. Some people would like to stay in Ukraine. That actually... The existence of Ukraine, it's miracle till this day. It's big miracle because Russia would take many areas of Ukrainian society, would bought many factories, property, banks, and everything. Army was almost destroyed in Ukraine. So it's really miracle that this country still exists. And this warfare still continuing in the east of Ukraine, still people dying there. And more than a million refugees were around of Ukraine, traveling, finding place to stay. Some of them would come to our congregation. And we were able to help them some. We don't have a lot, but at least something. Jewish refugees, actually. Some of them, they have Jewish background, and they also... suffered from this warfare. Many of them went to Israel. So, and still in Odessa, there is acts of subversive groups that making explosions in the night. Sometimes they shoot, and people feel this presence of Russia inside of the city. And but still, people trying to do normal life. In spite of it. And all around the city, people getting, especially men from 20s till 60, they're getting letters of happiness, how they're calling it. Letters that calling them to army. And each time when I'm crossing border, I'm thinking, maybe I will get this letter. You need to get it from official authorities and to sign, and then you need to go. You need to go. And they... are not looking attentively that you have religious background or you doesn't want to fight. So, and also economical warfare still continues. And Rabbi David mentioned that people would lose their actually living possibility to buy even food because they would need to pay for housing, and it will take all money and to heat the place and. We have now 19 IMCS congregations in Crimea and Ukraine, and each congregation facing difficulties just to keep the building, to rent a place, because we don't have our own places yet, and to heat the building and to help people, actually. And also, informational warfare is happening all around of Ukraine. My mom actually working on the north of Russia, and when she come back, she's thinking, oh, I go to the monsters. Because in Ukraine, in Russia, they think that there is monsters and very, very, very bad situation. So, and political warfare. Many Russian-minded people still in the government, and it's influencing the society. So, but we are not looking only on the problems, because we have our destiny, we have our goal to preach the good news, to bring our people to salvation, and we're gladly doing it. And really we see wonderful miracles of God happening, because we can support our people and show them that how to stand on a firm foundation during times when everything is shaking. So, and we're glad that you know us and you supporting us in prayer and in financial area. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Shabbat Shalom. I also feel at home, family, в родной синагоге.
I feel like I'm in my own synagogue here.
Это для меня земля святая.
This is a holy ground for me.
Что я тут проходил бар мицву.
I did my bar mitzvah here.
И спасибо Рабби Давид, Рабби Сэнди.
I thank Rabbi David, Rabbi Sandy.
Рабби Юрий.
And Rabbi Yuri.
И также я благодарю за вашу поддержку и ваши сердца.
I'm also very grateful for your support and for your hearts.
Последнее интересное событие у нас в Крыму — это отключение электроэнергии.
Last few interesting things that happened in Crimea is we have lost all our power, like electricity.
Были взорваны линии электропередачи.
The lines have been blown up.
На украинской территории перед уже въездом в Крым.
In Ukrainian territory, right before you enter Crimea, the power lines have been blown up.
Это уже был февраль, холодно.
So it was a February and it was very cold.
И исчезло отопление.
The heat was gone.
Те, у кого электроплиты, невозможно приготовить еду.
Those that have electrical stoves are not able to cook.
Ну и всем негде зарядить телефон.
And no one can charge their phones.
Нет Wi-Fi, нет интернета.
No Wi-Fi, no internet.
Все учреждения парализованы.
All of the buildings are basically
банки
paralyzed.
Парализованы.
Banks are paralyzed.
Банкоматы не работают.
ATMs are not working.
Но зато увеличилось количество желающих участвовать в вечерних молитвах в общинах.
However, we have an increase in participation in our evening prayers.
И мы при свечах активно молились.
And with under the candlelight, we have been actively praying.
Это был пик посещения молитвенных собраний.
It was the height of attendance in prayer meetings for us.
И самый популярный товар в Крыму стал электрогенератор.
And the most popular product in Crimea at this time is electrogenerator.
И просто с огромным ажиотажем разбирали электрогенераторы.
And people were just taking it off the shelves.
И цена возросла на электрогенераторы.
The price of this product has rose up.
Но чтобы он работал, туда же надо залить бензин.
However, to make it work, you need to put in gas.
У нас в Евпатории работала только одна заправочная станция.
In the whole Евпатория we only had one gas station that was working.
У которых был мощный электрогенератор.
They were in position of really massive generator.
И очередь была многокилометровая в эту заправку.
The line to that gas station stretched for many kilometers.
И все заправляли не только машины, но и канистры.
And people would fill not only their cars but also canisters.
И вечером, когда ты идешь, весь город гудит, гул электрогенераторов.
And in the evening you can hear real just howl of their generators.
Ханука у нас была веселая.
We had a really joyful Hanukkah.
И в Севастополе мы проводили ханукальный концерт.
We had a concert in Sevastopol.
И нам повезло, как раз на эти два часа было включено электричество.
And we got lucky, we had electricity for those two hours.
И в Ханука-шпиле был такой момент, что мы зажгли Ханукию.
And during our presentation, we had a moment where we would light up Ханукия.
Электросветильники были зажжены специально.
It was a electric Hanukkah. Yeah, just like.
И в этот момент погас свет.
And in that moment when we were supposed to light it up, the lights turned off.
То есть опять отключили электроэнергию.
Yeah, so they turned off the electricity again.
И все решили, что это такой спецэффект Ханука шпиля.
And so everyone actually thought that this was a specifically designed in the play of Hanukkah.
Но оказалось, это не был спецэффект.
But it was not any effect.
Не работали СТО, станции техобслуживания, шиномонтаж. Ну, если подкачать колеса в машине, то негде было.
Yeah, all the stations that you could use to take care of your car, like put air in your tires, none of that was working.
И не работали светофоры.
And the lights were also out.
И очень много аварий было.
Meaning the road lights, you know, red, white, I mean, red, white, and green, whatever.
Наш
the colors. Yeah.
Наш брат один тоже попал в аварию на перекрестке.
So because the road lights were out, there were a lot of accidents, and one of our brothers was in that accident.
И мы думали, будет суд, его лишат на год водительских прав.
And we really thought that he will be have to, he would be taken to court, and they would take away his license for a year.
И Бог сделал чудо, что он обошелся маленьким штрафом.
And God showed his miracle, and the man only had to pay a small fine for the accident.
И несколько дней не работали школы.
A few days we had schools closed.
И дети были счастливы.
And children were happy.
Мы вынуждены в Севастополе перенести в пятницу служение на более раннее время.
We are forced to move our services on Friday night to much earlier during the day.
Потому что вечером людям неудобно идти, фонари не горят.
Because at night it's not safe for people to walk around. The streets are very dark. No lights. The streets lights are not on.
И со стороны России через Керченский пролив протянули две дополнительных электроветки.
So from the Russian side, Керченский, through a sea, they stretched two additional lines for the
electricity,
for the electric.
И частично восполнена нужда в электричестве.
So because of those two lines, we had some. It compensated for some of the lack of electricity we've had.
Но этого недостаточно.
But it's not enough.
И на этой неделе опять были отключения электроэнергии.
And this week we had blackouts again.
И в крупных супермаркетах пропадают просто продукты, потому что не работают холодильники.
And in big supermarkets, oh, you know, the produce just goes bad because they don't have electricity to keep it cold. And
и в Псалме 33:20 говорится.
And I'm going to read you a passage from Psalm 33:20.
Много скорбей у праведного, и от всех их избавит его Господь.
I'm sorry, it's Psalm 34:20 in English, actually.
Много скорбей у праведного, и от всех их избавит его Господь.
Okay. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Is it? No? Okay. Many are distresses of the righteous, but Adonai delivers him out of all.
Мы понимаем, что любые трудности, они временные.
We understand that all difficulties are temporary.
И в этой недельной главе Бог говорит: «Я вижу скорби моего народа, иду избавить».
And in the chapter we read this week, Lord says, "I see the difficulties of my children, and I'm coming to help them."
И вы помните разбойник, который висел на кресте и сказал Иешуа: «Вспомни меня». Иешуа сказал: «Ныне же будешь со мною в раю».
And you remember the story of a robber who was hung on a cross next to Yeshua, and he said, "Remember me." And Yeshua told him, "You will be with me in paradise."
Казалось бы, хуже быть не может, уже на кресте.
So it seemed like nothing worse could have possibly happened. He's been crucified.
Но Иешуа рядом, говорит: "Ныне будешь со мной в раю."
But Yeshua, who was close to him, said, "You will be with me in heaven."
Мы верим и к вам, и к нам. Иешуа очень близко.
We believe that Yeshua is very close to you and us.
И слава Господу и благодарение вам.
And we praise the Lord and we thank you.
You'll be able to continue to provide support together with us at any time. And when you give donations that are designated for Ukraine Emergency Fund or Ukraine Crimea, we are able to pass that on to provide help to our brothers in need, to their families, to their congregations. I've asked Rabbi Victor and Rabbi Alexander to pray for everyone today who wants to go forward, no matter what the challenges are, and who has a sense God's ready to work now, and you want to say Hineni. So I want to invite Rabbi Victor, Rabbi Alexander to come up, and they're going to pray for the whole group of people that wants a breakthrough and wants to say to the Lord, Hineni. And is saying, "Lord, here I am, send me, use me, I'm ready." So if you're one of those people, if you need the power of God, the confidence in God, the release that comes from the Holy Spirit, come up here. They're going to pray over the whole group, and then after we close the service, they'll pray for individuals who would like prayer. Like last night, yeah. And since you know the direction that they're praying in, they're going to pray in Russian. And you have the general sense and purpose of what they're praying for, but they're going to pray in Russian, and the Holy Spirit will give you agreement as well.
И даровал каждому из твоих детей доверие тебе и силу Духа Святого. Я прошу, Отец, чтобы ты наполнял этим дерзновением, хуцпой и видением того, что ты, Господь, приготовил исполнять и совершать во имя Твое. И даруй, Господи, в радости и веселье сердца посвящать свою жизнь тебе и двигаться за тобой, за твоей шхиной, за твоей славой. которую ты распростер в душе каждого из них. Благослови, Господь, и наполни, Боже, радостью в служении Тебе и в принесении этого прекрасного плода, спасения среди нашего народа. Амин.
Спасибо, Всесильный, что Ты живешь в сердцах Твоих детей, Духом Твоим, и Ты, Иешуа, в сердце каждого. И Ты есть лев из колена Иудина, и Ты обладаешь могущественной божественной силой. И пусть она проявляется, пусть она течет через каждого Твоего ребенка, каждого Твоего служителя, Господь. И пусть каждый изрекает Твои слова, Господь. Потому что Ты послал каждого возвещать славу Твоего Царства. И Ты хочешь спасти многих и многих еще, Господь. И да принесет эта замечательная синагога великий плод для Тебя в терпении и в радости. Бешем Иешуа ха-Машиах. Амин.
And I'm going to ask Rabbi Alexander to close the service with Aaron's blessing. And he'll do that. You're going to do it in Russian and Hebrew, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Great. Because you know the English, right? So you don't even need an interpreter. And then afterwards, those who want individual prayer, stay here, and Rabbi Victor and Rabbi Alexander will pray for you individually. They're not going to pray for 10 minutes for any one person. It'll be quick prayers, but they're ready to pray for everyone who wants personal prayer.
Да благословит тебя Господь и сохранит тебя. Да призрит на тебя Господь светлым лицом своим и помилует тебя. Да обратит Господь лицо свое на тебя и даст тебе Shalom.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Happy New Year.